and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. And in this special spooky time of year, Robin, me, is joined by Alex and Martin.
Hello there, Robin. You introduced us both.
I
like it.
Just get out of the way early.
Yeah, because we're going to be talking about a lot of spooky stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of spooky stuff.
We're very Halloween themed today, aren't we?
We are indeed.
Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Should have brought a pumpkin in. But we will be going on to stories, spooky encounters submitted by you later on in this episode, reading out stories. We've been doing it for most of this month, the spooky month of Halloween.
I've been really enjoying this spooky month.
It's been really fascinating.
It's been really nice hearing your stories. So thank you guys for all your submissions.
And then, of course, at the end of this episode, we'll be having a quiz.
Oh, yes. It has a theme to it.
Is it Halloween? Because if not, it's going to be very disappointing.
It might be Halloween.
So
there's that as well.
But you two had a really spooky experience, didn't you, the other day?
That is true.
We did.
Do you want to tell them about it, Martin?
Yeah. We got an invite, either or, to an event, didn't we?
Yeah.
For Annabelle Comes Home, it's being released on the 2nd of November. Is that right, on digital?
Yeah, I think so. It's coming out on digital on 2nd November, and then sometime later on in November, it's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. So check it out.
Yeah.
We're not sponsored, but it was a good event, though.
But what was the event?
Well, we went to a Masonic temple somewhere in London, which was really exciting, obviously, for us. There are pictures of it on our Twitters, so you can see that. I'm at AlexBrownATC.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
at All Time Martin.
I'm at All Time Robin, if anyone cares.
There will not be pictures of the Masonic Temple. I've been wanting to go along to this Masonic Temple regardless for a while, because it's the one that was, it was hidden inside this hotel behind a wall for years and years. And then they discovered it again. I'm not even quite sure how that happens, of like losing where this thing was.
I think it was something to do with the war, like the war, though it was hidden during the war maybe, and then it was found by the hotel owners later on. But it was really, really interesting.
Because from the pictures, it looked like it's a big place.
It wasn't massive. It makes it look bigger in the pictures, for sure.
Quite a closed off, intimate affair.
It was.
But at the event.
At the event, yeah. Not the after party. Don't know what I meant by that. the Haunted Objects Museum in the UK, I think they're based up in Rotherham.
Yeah.
They brought down some of their haunted objects and they were basically showing us them, and then we got to see the movie prop Annabelle doll. Not the actual one.
Yeah. Which was scary too, but these objects, a few of them were a little bit freaky, weren't they?
Very freaky. And then the haunted paranormal people were trying to talk to ghosts, which was an interesting experience.
Mixed results, maybe.
Mixed results, yeah.
But one thing, Alex, they brought out this box, didn't they? This box that supposedly had a demon inside of it.
Yeah.
And you're right up there smiling, touching this, but I'm like, Alex, don't risk it, mate.
Well, they said like, who wants to touch the box? We won't
hand straight up.
We won't tell you. We won't tell you what it does until afterwards. And I was like, yeah, I'll touch the box.
I'm not sure. What's the curse?
Well, it's a divot box, I think was what it's called.
Which is meant to have a demon inside, right?
I think
you're not meant to open a divot box.
Like you trap a demon inside the box.
Yeah,
right?
But even touching it apparently gives you bad luck for the rest of your life. So,
which was great that they didn't tell you that before.
That's great.
Touching the box.
I'm fine with that.
You've been very chill this whole week since the event. Maybe has that influenced your kind of outlook on life?
No, not really. No. I'm feeling very lucky, very fortunate right now. So. Yeah, no bad experiences from touching the box so far, at least. But anytime anything goes wrong in my life now, I'm just going to blame it on the box.
Yeah.
It's clearly no decisions of mine that have influenced that. It's just it's just the devil box.
Should we go through? I mean, there were a fair few items, weren't there, they went through?
What was
Should
your
we go
favorite?
Through some of our favorites.
Yeah.
So, I guess which one freaked you out the most? That's a pretty good way to start. We can compare and contrast.
I think for me, the creepiest one. Well, I don't know, because it looks the creepiest, but actually on the night it was quite a small painting. It was a painting, and it was called The Hands Resist Him. I think it was painted by an artist called Bill Stoneham.
By the way, if you guys, I know if you're listening to this, we may well put it on screen if we can. While this is on YouTube, if you're listening to this and aren't driving, have a look at these pictures and images, because they're all online. Type it in and have a look for yourselves as well.
yeah.
What was it?
It was Yeah, it's a painting called The Hands Resist Him, and it's just this very eerie, creepy-looking painting. It's meant to be a self-portrait of the author when he was a kid and living a past memory. And the picture shows two children, a boy and a girl, standing in front of like a glass door. And yeah. The girl looks kind of like a how would you describe that?
Like a doll, like a China doll?
Yeah, exactly. Like a China doll.
Well, China doll face.
And then
anyway.
There's these
so weird
eerie hands in the background that you can only just see in the doorway behind.
Oh, yeah.
And allegedly, if you stare at this picture for long enough, you stare into the boy's eyes, the hands behind just start to move. Very creepy.
I mean, we stared at it for a little while.
Yeah, I gave it a little stare. I couldn't really see much
to be honest, until quite recently, when I've looked at this before the podcast, I didn't even see the hands because they're so faint in the background. Yeah. So I haven't seen the move, but I'm going to have to give it another go.
Yeah.
Although, does it work if it's just the picture online? Yeah, I mean, we had the picture in front of us.
Yeah. It was quite a small picture and it was, I wanted to get a much closer look, but no one else was. So I kind of felt like
keeping your respectful distance.
Yeah. But there are other weird instances that have happened with this painting. People report that when they have it in their home, weird things tend to happen.
But now it's in a museum.
Now it's in a museum, yes.
Because it belongs in a museum.
But belongs in a museum, yes. But these people who are leading the event, who own this museum, yeah. I mean, they're used to all kinds of crazy stuff happening. So I don't think they were bothered about having it in their museum.
If you've got all these objects around which bad luck and unfortunate events kind of gravitate, why would you put them all in one place?
Maybe they've built up an immunity to it, or they can just control it in some way.
You could build an immunity to bad luck.
Or build an immunity to spirit paranormal events, you know. A poltergeist is moving stuff around their kitchen. I imagine they come down to breakfast and all the chairs are on the table and for God's sake, again, come on. Stop it now, okay?
Well, maybe if we have it all with us, then at least we get bad luck and not everyone else. It's like they're doing a public service.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very nice way of looking at it. Yeah.
I think there's a good movie idea in there somewhere. Like
a public service, haunted public service.
People that have a haunted museum and everything's just going crazy or something.
I like the idea, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But apparently the figures in this painting, people have witnessed them come out of the picture.
The little creepy girl and the boy.
Yeah, the creepy girl and the boy. Yeah.
Strange.
Apparently people suffer blackouts and have, faint while looking at the picture.
It is a creepy picture. Very creepy. Also the name, The Hands Resist Him.
Yeah.
What a creepy name.
Who? Resist who?
Yeah. And whose hands? And what?
Yeah.
And what?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
What are the hands behind? Yeah.
You say a self-portrait.
Of
the author.
Was he adorable?
Why are the hands in the background?
It's a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is... I don't know who the girl is. Maybe his sister, but why is she like a doll? Really creepy.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to speak to Bill Stoneman. Stoneham, who painted this, and ask him about the origins of the hands, at least.
Yeah. So what about you, Martin? What would you say was one of your favourites?
Favourites? I mean, favourites is a strong word. but I think for me, the gin sacred holder.
Oh, yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah. The what?
Yeah, it's called the gin sacred holder. Do you know what this reminded me of?
As in genie?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we see genies as cartoonish and Disneyfied,
but this is like a
dark,
evil
very,
genie,
very dark. So it's like a little, what was it? A little, sorry, what are you saying? It reminded you of something?
Uncharted.
Oh, yeah,
3.
Uncharted. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, no, sorry, carry on. Little aside there.
So, yeah, it was like this little kind of, what's the word for it? Like
brass,
brass kind of submarine shaped, if you want,
cylinder, I guess,
cylindrical.
Cylinder. Yeah. Like a bell, almost.
Yeah.
Or actually, it almost kind of looked like what are they called? That thing in the Da Vinci Code.
The thing. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to annoy me now.
Yeah, I can't remember now.
You know what? Codex or something. Cipher. You know, it's a little thing.
Mm. It's a little puzzle box. It's like a scroll, but it's like a metal container for a scroll.
Yes.
That kind of shape.
And there's nothing particularly about this. Like, you look at a lot of the pictures and the images, like the last one we mentioned, and a few of the other ones that were there, and you're like, oh, that's creepy. You can see some kind of, I don't know, haunted or devilish symbols in there. But this one, just mainly because it wasn't... There was nothing about it that was suggested that it was haunted, other than it was just kind of mysterious, right? It was the most most mysterious object.
That's cool.
It was like most of the others, you go, okay, well, they brought that here. Like, you could be cynical and say they brought that here because that looks weird.
Right.
They brought this one here because it's a girl who's there looking sad. Whereas this one, it was like, there's no reason to bring this along because it's not...
Right.
It doesn't look amazing in itself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very true.
I don't know. It's difficult to, necessarily to explain, but...
Mm. When that suggests it has a history to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looked old and ancient and creepy. Mm. And when they showed it around everyone, that was the one I was a bit more like...
Oh, did you touch it? Did you touch it?
No, I took a picture of it.
Yeah.
Do you want to see the picture?
Yeah. You say it's got a genie inside. If you like rub it 3 times, does the genie come out? Is that the thing?
I don't think so. They mentioned that it's not really that kind of... Genie. No.
So what is it then? What's trapped inside?
So the jinn are believed to be the first spirits to take earth, as it says on the website, and they're portrayed as the devil in the Quran.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. So it's a devilish spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that adds a little bit more
evil
context to what it is. I don't know. I'm not quite sure why that was one that made me feel a bit more uneasy.
I think because the people hosting the event also felt very uneasy about it. Like they were quite happy
that's
to...
That's probably the reason.
They were quite happy to joke around with all the other objects and like tease some of the ghosts and all that. But this, they were like they wouldn't go near really. Or some of them wouldn't.
And most of the things, they opened up the boxes. They brought around the paintings. This one was very much more hands-off.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Ah.
And they said that when they... Like, they have people around in the museum. Sometimes the electrics in the museum will go off. And the owner, Lee, would say to people, did you just touch something? And they'll say, yeah, we opened the box over there. And it was always this box.
Wow.
Whenever all the electrics would go off.
That is cool.
Pretty weird. Pretty weird.
That is cool.
So it was that was pretty creepy. I agree.
What else did you find?
It's another painting, but The Crying Boy. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a famous one.
So The Crying Boy, the painting, of course, if you haven't seen it, I'm probably put it on screen.
It's of a crying boy.
And of course, it looks sad because it's of a child and he's upset and everything. The background around this one is that The Crying Boy painting was made in masses of copies, right? If not millions.
Yeah.
And firefighters, especially in the UK, and from Essex, where you're from originally, Alex,
Just doxed me that.
originally, yeah, that's fine. They found this painting in a lot of house fires. Yeah. So houses that burnt down and people died, and this painting would often be found in the wreckage and the rubble.
But it's
burnt out.
It survived.
But it's absolutely fine. Whoa. Which is strange, right?
Sounds creepy.
Yeah, very.
Sounds creepy, but there is a slight rational explanation for this, and that is that this particular painting, and I'm sure lots of other paintings similar to it, were coated in like a lacquer, which made them fire resistant. But it's still odd that it's found perfectly.
Why didn't they just fire resistant the rest of the house?
Just spray all over everything.
If it's that effective and preserves the painting, then every house ever should be coated in this lacquer. And they find out it causes cancer.
But it is weird that it is a picture of a crying boy found in the burnt house.
Yeah, and who was buying a picture of a crying
boy?
Yeah,
also this was mass produced. Yeah, who would have this in their house? What psychopaths?
People are strange.
How did they mass produce this? They should have made one and never. Yeah. Just stop the print.
Yeah.
No more.
But it was interesting how, so this started to become like an infamous painting, wasn't it? And they said that eventually this made it into a newspaper of this as a haunted picture.
Mm.
And they started this mass gathering of all of these crying boy paintings.
Yeah.
And on one night they burnt like thousands of them.
Yeah.
They made like a big bonfire and burnt them all. and there's still loads out there, but far fewer. So I think this was quite a rare find.
And didn't they say that them themselves sort of tried burning it? And got considerable bad luck as a result in the next, like the week after, whatever.
Or then they would, hear certain things from, what was it, Tim? A ghost called Tim, who they thought was the boy.
This
is the painting. The boy in the painting.
I think it's called Tim, yeah. All
right. Tim?
Sorry. I just thought about like the museum people were just hearing.
Tim?
Tim?
I mean, this not an exaggeration. That was pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
How about the bridal doll?
The bridal doll, yes. So the bridal doll is this one, Robin. I'm going to show you now.
Yeah. The second bridal
doll. Well, who would make a doll like that? Honestly, that's just frightening.
It's been on ITV's This Morning 3 times.
Three times.
So good, they brought it back.
No wonder. this morning is cursed.
So the history behind the doll, correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, was that it belonged to an old woman, I think I got the feeling she was older.
Well, it was found in a skip, wasn't it? Along with two other dolls.
Some other woman had it, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. But the other two dolls were kind of normal.
They were just fine.
She had an issue with this particular doll.
Right. Yeah.
And cut a long story short, because I can't remember it all, the doll attacked married men because she was in a bridal dress.
The doll attacked.
Attacked as in like men would find scratches on their back.
Scratches were the most notable.
Yeah.
So people would wake up and have like long, deliberate scratches on them.
In their sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, even weirder.
Yeah.
We saw this the other day.
It's meant to be the second most haunted item in the world?
In the world, yeah.
Wow.
With the first being the...
And the original Annabelle doll.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
Which is in America, I guess.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So we got to see it.
You got to see the second most haunted thing.
And of course, I took off my wedding.
I was going to say, Martin, you're a married man. Did you get a scratch?
All the time.
Is it a ghost?
No. No, just the cat.
Get home. Wife is like, where are those scratches from, Martin?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh,
is it another woman?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
it's a doll.
A doll.
Yeah.
We should have thrown it on the ground. Just like smashed it.
Smashed.
Imagine if we'd done that.
We might have kicked off.
We'd make it on this morning.
Broke the doll. The doll comes back for a fourth appearance just in pieces.
So why did you do it? Aren't you scared you'd be haunted?
Best thing would be if you smashed it and then the next day she's all reassembled again.
Whoa.
As if she was never damaged.
The company.
Not a scratch.
In a weird...
Except on you.
Exactly.
The toy company, in a weird bid to make a profit, made more than one.
Yeah. But it's a strange looking doll.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
With all of these items, like I spoke to you afterwards, Alex, I'm slightly skeptical about the whole thing of everything being particularly haunted, especially individual items. I can understand if people have experiences.
Yeah.
It's fair enough. But in terms of individual items, it's like surely those items are relevant to one person's experience rather than just being haunted themselves. Yeah. I don't know. I always have a funny thing about an item in particular being haunted.
Unless it's been passed down through generations and all those people have suffered exactly the same kind of things.
Yeah.
It's hard to establish it as a haunting or just coincidence. Mm. This person had a miserable life. They associated it with a particular object.
Yeah. In fairness, they did kind of try and explain that by saying
they did.
That they were, altered objects or something.
Yeah, that's trying to control the video game.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, basically, if you spend, if you're a child and you go to sleep every night with a specific doll, part of you is in that doll kind of thing. Like your energy has gone into that doll.
Idea.
So if the child, dies or sadly like passes away, then
part of her is kind of an
imprint in that doll. And that could be what
that's
makes these objects have like haunting, like haunted or that kind of thing.
So my coffee cup that I use every day has got an imprint of me on it.
Maybe.
Possibly.
So
maybe
when I die, you'll find my soul.
Let's kill Robert just to find it.
Inside this coffee cup.
But then close the cup.
Don't recycle the cup.
I'm in here still.
So then can robots have souls?
It's a good question.
Hey. My data imprint is on this cup.
You've plugged in your USB, that's why.
You showed me a little clip when you got back from the event. There was some kind of little meter... Some little device that was measuring something, like red lights, and they're going up and down. It reminded me a bit of the Ghostbusters little gadget.
It did seem a little bit like
the ectometer, whatever it's called.
It was, I think...
PKE meter, thank you very much.
Yeah, so I think that one was measuring environmental changes in the air.
Yeah. They went close to it and went, touch the antenna or whatever, then it went and beeped. Yeah.
So what was it detecting?
One of the people running the event was convinced that Elizabeth, aka the bridal doll, was sat in the chair, sat right next to me.
I was like, come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Really?
Sat next to you.
Yeah.
You're a married man. She's clearly got her eye on you.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So he put this reading on this chair next to me and Martin and was saying, Elizabeth, can you speak to me, Elizabeth?
Can you hear me?
And the thing was Elizabeth. Going off. And then it was like, right, now step away, Elizabeth. And then the thing stopped.
Ooh.
So,
you sound skeptical.
I think that's just my natural tone of
voice. Yeah, likewise. Likewise.
Okay.
It was
just like with magic, coming a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, you're never like, wow, that was real magic. You're like, how did you do that?
Yeah, exactly. That's my default with these things.
You two are weird. David Copperfield is for real.
Yeah. What other objects did you like? There was a sinister painting.
That was strange, actually. It was a painting of like a devil, like almost like a sheep's head. You know, like the devil sheep's head type thing.
Yeah.
I'll just show you.
Yeah, like the ram.
That one. And it has two kind of devilish figures or skeletal figures on each side. Yeah. And then supposedly someone burning in the middle. If you turn upside down, it looks like the person in the middle is burning onto the fire. So this is like the devil's head. It's like a fire. They're hanging down onto it. Really strange, right?
And it looks like apparently the person in the middle is holding a white rabbit, which one of them said they thought it could have just been pareidolia. They weren't sure, but it was supposed to symbolize the, you know, going down the rabbit hole and that kind of thing. And
who thoughts and craziness.
Nobody knows. That's what's creepy.
Unknown origin, which adds to the mystery for sure, doesn't it?
Yeah. The artist is unknown. Apparently it was said to be in a film called Finders Keepers, but it never made it onto the film due to the crew and the actors having a very uneasy feeling about the picture, and they wouldn't work in the same areas.
They wouldn't go near it.
That's cool.
And then it was later acquired by Yorkshire Ghost Hunts, and when they got it home, one of them owned a crystal skull, and apparently it turned fully around.
The crystal skull turned to look away from the painting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, so this is, they have this in their museum, this haunted objects museum, where, you know, sometimes they talk to the, they've got dolls with their own personalities, like their ghosts are haunting them. One of them was called Scarlet, that is haunting this doll. And they ask Scarlet, what are you most afraid of? And she replied, that painting. And behind her was this painting.
Whoa.
It's a strange painting. It's really, really creepy. You wouldn't want to have it in your house, would you? Yeah.
No, I mean, again, like the crying boy. Whoever has the crying boy up in the house probably would have this one up as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cool painting. I'll give it that. But yes, it's very, very weird and scary and terrifying. Yeah. And why would you keep it?
It's quite cool how it works either upside down or not.
If it works upside down. I like it when they do that. It's like, is it Holbein? There's a painting in the National Gallery and there's that skull on the floor.
Oh, yes.
Portrait of some ambassador or something. Yeah. But if you look at it from the right angle, there's a skull. But if you look at it from the other angle, it just looks like the carpet or something. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. There's a few of those in the National Gallery, actually.
So there was one other picture that we saw there called the Love Letters painting.
The young girl.
Yeah. And it is a young girl basically holding a letter.
Okay.
And this young girl was named Samantha.
Oh, she was real?
She was a real girl. Oh, okay. And she is associated with this painting. So she is her in the picture. But she sadly died, I think, when she was out playing and she fell down some steps and she passed away. And it's believed her spirit haunts this painting to this day.
Of course it does.
And apparently when you stare directly at her in the original picture. So the one that we saw actually wasn't an original. It was just a copy.
Yeah.
The original is in America somewhere.
Right. Okay.
But when you stare at the original, her face is supposed to change, which seems to be a common theme with these paintings.
It's also tempting to just write that off as classic optical illusions, you know, because if you stare at a fixed point, you know, when there's a zigzaggy pattern, the mind will interpret the zigzaggy pattern as if it's moving, because you're focusing on a particular point and all the peripheral area is being constantly reprocessed. So it becomes this optical illusion about, oh, things are moving around you.
Like, that's a good point.
You've done it before. You've looked at one of those zigzaggy patterns, black and white. If you just stare at it, it kind of starts to move. And it's just a trick. Yeah. So it's tempting to say that if you stare at this particular fixed point on this painting, the other rest of it moves.
Yeah, that's true. You know. It's also like, I mean, it's going to make me sound really narcissistic, but have you ever stared at yourself in the mirror?
No.
But it's this thing. It's like you did it in school. Like it was a creepy phenomenon. No, whatever.
Carry on. You're staring at yourself in the mirror.
If you stare at yourself in the mirror, like with the lights off for long enough, it starts to... look like you think it's another person staring back at you, like a different person.
Ooh. Your mind,
you can cut this bit out.
That's staying right in there.
Your mind plays tricks on you.
How often does this happen in public?
every night before I fall asleep. I just, and every morning I'm just like, you can do this, Alex. Whoa, who's that?
I like it.
Every morning he can walk to the bathroom and he's still there. He's still there in the mirror. He doesn't realize it.
Look, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, come to my defense. No one knows in the comments.
You're talking about, Alex.
Who's going to come to your defense?
See what I have to work with.
God. He's just.
Anyway, Donald Trump coming to defense. Who else?
Anyway, so if you stare at this picture, apparently it makes you feel lightheaded, dizzy, and some people have even reported levitating whilst looking at this picture.
Oh, right.
Lightheaded, dizzy, that's, and then levitating. There's quite a few different levels.
It's escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I thought it was a good event overall, wasn't it? It was interesting.
It was good,
because
yeah.
Usually I'm not necessarily, well, not surrounded by those objects, but also people that are so, so enthusiastic about it.
Mm.
Whether, you know, whether right, you know, rightly or wrongly is not the right term, but whether it's genuine or not in terms of whether the items are haunted, it's so nice to have people that are actually like really, really into it, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was very much like being in an episode of Most Haunted. You know, you were right there alongside them. It was easy to see, get swept up in, swept up in it.
It sounds like it was a really great event. The setting is really cool. That Freemasons Hall.
Oh, that was wicked.
Very difficult to get into.
I think that was the best bit for me. Yeah. The setting was really cool.
All those items in one place. Exciting.
Yeah, that was good.
Very jealous. But. Shall we move on to some of the spooky stories submitted by our listeners and viewers?
Let's.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. I've got one from Nikki R, who sent us by email. It's quite a long one, so okay. I'll just dive into it. So Nikki R says, hello, guys.
Hello. Thanks for sending us a story.
yeah.
Thank you, yeah. She says, I'm currently living in Seoul in South Korea, but I'm originally from Victoria in Canada. British Columbia, I think. Victoria is a very haunted city. Off the top of my head, I can think of at least 7 or 8 incidents that happened to me, but I've decided to share one with you, which literally left me in tears.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
First, let me tell you a little bit of background. It was just my mum and me when I was growing up. We moved houses 4 times. The last house was where I had the majority of my experiences. It was a 2-bedroom townhouse, which had actually been converted from a larger house into multiple suites. If you've watched the movie Coraline, it was like hers, except my suite was much smaller. The original house was old and was in one of the oldest neighborhoods in the city. Classic environment for ghosts. Yeah. I was about 14 years old when this happened. I was taking a shower. My mum was in the living room watching TV. As it was just me and my mum and we only had one bathroom, we never made a habit of locking the door when showering, just in case of emergencies.
Fair enough.
The bathroom was...
Have you ever seen Psycho?
The bathroom was long. The door was on one end, the toilet at the other. The shower and bathtub were opposite the mirror and counter. There were 4 large light bulbs above the bathroom mirror. About 5 minutes before I finished my shower, the bathroom doors opened.
How long are your showers?
It could be 10 minutes.
Just to say halfway through, if that's the case.
Okay, well, about 5 minutes before Nikki finished her shower, the bathroom door opens, and I can hear my mum's footsteps on the bathroom floor, and I can see my mum's silhouette coming from the door. Sometimes she needed to use the bathroom when I was showering, so no big deal. The draft from outside was coming in, and it was making me cold, so over the running water, I asked my mum to close the door. My mum stopped in front of the mirror, directly in front of the bathtub, and just stood there. I was thinking maybe she was doing it on purpose to bother me for fun or something, but she didn't move. I started to get a bit freaked out. It had been what felt like 10 seconds, and I was getting cold, so I had half a mind to open the shower curtain and spray some water at Mum, but something told me not to, and I was getting more freaked out by the second. Something just didn't feel right. I asked her again, with a louder voice, and then the silhouette did something that left me speechless. It turned and kept walking towards the toilet and right through the wall. I screamed, jumped out of the shower, grabbed my towel, and ran out of the bathroom. My mum, who'd heard me scream, got to me in the hallway just outside the bathroom. 14-year-old me could barely speak properly. I finally got it out, and she was fairly certain I'd seen a ghost or spirit or something. She is a Christian and believes in those kind of things. I was terrified for months afterwards, and I was unable to take a shower without my mum standing in the bathroom while I did it for about 6 months after this happened.
Wow.
So many questions ran through my mind in the weeks after that incident. When it paused in front of me, Was it staring at the mirror or was it staring at me? What would have happened if I'd opened the shower curtain to splash water on what I thought was my mum?
Yeah.
Did it know I was there when it walked in? Even while writing this now, I have goosebumps all over my arms and legs, and the hairs on the back of my neck are standing on end. I've had to take two pauses just to collect my thoughts and not get freaked out about the mere memory of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a really good story. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. Yeah. Ooh. That's a good one.
And that's the thing. Like,
I've got goosebumps. Ooh.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's the best kind of story where there's a reasonable explanation for something that happens out of your main vision. And then afterwards you're like, oh, wait a second. That couldn't have happened any other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, it's when it comes down to people's personal experience, isn't it? That's when you're like, they saw what they saw.
Mm. Yeah.
They felt what they felt. And there's not too much you can say to...
Yeah. That was... Ooh. I can't imagine being in that situation, just seeing something staring at you. Oh, and then turning and walking
through the wall.
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh.
So what do you think?
Very creepy.
Definitely a ghost?
If everything happened the way that she described, then I don't know what else it could be. Yeah, that's very... Yeah.
If there was a silhouette...
I can't even rationally...
There has to have been something in the room with her.
Yeah. I can't even rationally explain that one.
Yeah, I can't either.
Great story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
very good.
So you have another one?
Yeah.
I've got one from Marcus Henderson,
okay,
who replied to our community post.
Uh-huh.
So Marcus says, when I was around 11, my parents moved our family out to the countryside. We lived in an old ranch house that was way too large for our small family, so it was eerie to begin with.
Mm.
After about 6 months, we were all quite comfortably living in our space. One night I was sitting on my bed facing the door to my room. Directly behind me was a large window, probably around 6 foot wide. That's a big window.
This is a huge window.
And 3 foot tall. My brother's room was directly across from mine. I saw him open his door and head downstairs, leaving his door open. Our rooms were mirror images of each other, so I could see a reflection of my room from his window. I noticed something moving behind me in the reflection, so I got up and turned around. I then saw what appeared to be a human figure outside my window, floating horizontally with one hand touching the window.
Oh.
It wasn't looking in the window. Its face was pointed slightly up and out, but I could see the left side of its face and it didn't appear to have an eye socket.
What?
I then noticed the hand that was touching the window was not right. It was a large man's hand, but it had fingers on top of the original set.
Oh.
It had all five human fingers, but then an additional set of fingers coming from the top of the knuckles. So it had nine fingers on its hand, each knuckle.
See, this is what really interests me in these stories, because when they're just kind of the typical generic ghost kind of thing, it's like, okay, fine, he could just be making this up. But also it's like, that's very unusual. I don't know why you would come up with that if it didn't actually happen. Do you know what I mean?
At this point, my 11-year-old self fear set in, and I went running and screaming downstairs, as you would.
Understandable.
My parents only believed I saw something because it left its nine-fingered handprint on the outside of my window.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely destroyed my memories of that amazing house.
I don't blame you.
That is crazy.
Ooh, yeah. Weird.
Do you know what that reminded me of immediately?
What?
Like Pan's Labyrinth. Seen Pan's Labyrinth?
Well, with the guy
the
with the eyes.
Or
Salem's Lot with the little boy floating outside the window. That is, that is creepy.
That's proper Halloween stuff right there.
It is. And again, two children in these stories.
Yeah.
You know, children seem to have this extra kind of perception of the other plane.
Mm. Why do you think that might be?
Maybe it's because they're closer to the, you know, beginning of life. Mm. Closer to that plane themselves. There's that kind of, as you get, you know, really young people and really old people have this extra sense where they can sense the other side. Maybe it's because they're both, you know, closer towards that other side. Okay, so this one was also posted on our community tab. It's a bit of a shorter one.
Yeah.
From a user going only as Doom.
Doom.
Doom, yes.
Great.
Okay. He says... He or she says, I've had a lot of paranormal experiences in my life, but this is probably one of the weirder ones. When I was about 10 to 13, my family and I lived in a house, which was nice, except for my sister's room. The atmosphere in there was just off.
That's what sisters are like, really.
Whenever you went in there, it felt like something was weighing down on you. My sister started acting differently, very withdrawn. The computer would turn on in there by itself, even when it was switched off at the plug.
That's impressive. Ooh. How old is this person? Yeah.
10 to 13.
10 to 13.
I mean, now. Because if this is in the 90s, computers were hard to turn on. You had to really push the button in. Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah.
Just saying.
I don't remember, old man.
Quite you.
Child.
The computer would turn on there by itself even when it was switched off at the plug. It would suddenly be on and the door would frequently open by itself. I saw it happen one night while laying in bed with my sister. The door was completely closed and then the door handle went down and it was pushed open.
Okay.
It would happen at the same specific time too. The weirdest thing though was the breathing. Myself, my mum and my sister all heard the sound of a man breathing on separate occasions. Loud, raspy breaths, like he was really struggling to breathe. Eventually, my mum moved my sister into the tiny spare room, and as soon as my sister was out of that room, she went back to normal and we didn't really use it anymore. Now the weirdest part. A few months after we moved out, my dad was speaking to a woman who lived down the road from that house, and she told him that a man died in that room with lung complications.
Breathing, heavy breathing.
We had no idea the entire time we'd been living there.
With an asthmatic ghost.
With an asthmatic ghost. Imagine that. Imagine being trapped on a different plane of existence, constantly, perpetually with your lung problems.
Oh, no. Yeah, you don't die with the things you have. Yeah.
Where's my asthma? Yeah, that's how that would be if you cross into the other side.
For all eternity.
But in the manner of your death.
Oh, man, that'd be awful. Yeah. I mean, the thing is about this story is the whole family hearing it all the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So one person hearing, you can say that's an anomaly. Mm. A couple of people, you can say maybe you were convincing each other you'd heard it. But with a whole family hearing the same thing, experiencing the same thing,
yeah,
that's what really gets me about this one. Weird,
and it wasn't just the hearing the voice as well. They saw a handle turn the door handle and open. I mean, that's some horror movie stuff there. That's creepy. That really is scary. Mm.
That's very spooky. I've got another story sent to us by email from Aaron Birchall.
Okay.
Aaron says, "My name is Aaron. I'm from Taunton in Somerset."
Taunton,
the UK.
Somerset.
Taunton, Somerset. Capital of Somerset, I've heard.
Yes.
Indeed, yeah. "After listening to your previous two podcasts with listeners' stories, I thought I would share a couple of weird occurrences with you."
Oh, well, thank you.
"Firstly, around 20 years ago, my mother was very sick. She was asleep in her bedroom and me and my father were in the lounge. We lived in a mobile home and the walls were paper thin. We started to hear her talking, but it was broken up, like we were hearing one side of a conversation. When we got to her room, she was talking to thin air and her hand was up in the air as though someone was holding it in a comforting way. But you could see it was limp and she wasn't holding it in that position by herself. The following day, she was feeling much better and told us that she'd had a strange dream the previous day. She said she dreamt her mother had come and sat with her and talked whilst she held her hand. Her mother, my gran, had died 10 years before I was ever born. Before my first birthday. Secondly, both my parents, my brother and myself, have seen what we believe to be my gran on other occasions. Me and my brother used to see her in mirrors when we lived with our parents, like I'd be brushing my teeth in the bathroom and she'd walk through the hallway behind me. Or if we were outside the house, we would see her inside some of the rooms. My mother and father see her quite often, if mother or granddad is ill. We don't see her being scary, more of a comfort that she's still looking out for us all."
That's nice.
That's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, massive difference, yeah.
That was actually spoken about at this event that we went to, because there's like a lot of the items were very kind of negative and the stories surrounding them were quite
positive ones,
quite negative.
Yeah, they were haunted as opposed to being just ghostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I think, paranormal experiences can be positive as well as negative. And
There's nothing to say they need to be negative, especially if it's someone who stayed around a house because they have a particular, affliction to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a nice story by the sounds of things.
Yeah, actually quite nice to hear. It's the first positive story we've had about ghosts, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was that one about the childhood friend, Billy, was it? Last week.
But yeah.
I guess that was just like they had a friend who someone else saw, and therefore wasn't an imaginary friend. So I guess that's kind of positive. But it's kind of nice to know grandma's around. The whole thing about seeing their mum with the hand held up.
It's quite strange.
It's quite strange,
Like, it was limp, but also...
Yeah.
I wonder if being asleep with your hand held up and keeping it there.
Do people do that?
I imagine if people are sleepwalking, maybe they do. Yeah, but the fact that it doesn't seem like
limp,
it's...
It was like that.
Yeah, it looked like it was being held. It's something slightly different, isn't it?
Yeah, very. How strange. Yeah,
interesting.
Ooh.
Weird.
Okay, so I've got another one from Mason D47.
Okay.
Great name.
So he says, my father told me many stories of my first home I lived in and how we had a ghost that I named Harold as a child. He had lots of stories, the ones I remember, where my Buzz Lightyear toy and a few other electronic ones were going off late at night. My father thought I was playing, but I was sound asleep. He switched them off and kept going. Then he took the batteries out and they still kept going. So he put them in a bag and took them outside. Another story was my mother and grandma dropped their cookbook behind the stove, but when they moved to get the book, it was gone and on the table behind them. My final story I remember is our dog was always barking at nothing, and people say dogs know that something's there. Anyways, my dad tried to open his toolbox and it just wouldn't. Then all of a sudden it burst open with the stuff inside flying everywhere, but he says it didn't hit the ground and the wrench and hammer and screwdriver floated for a moment among the screws and nails and other things.
Whoa.
And then they all dropped at the same time. That sounds like Matrix-like, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
He says that he took some of these with a grain of salt, but now that we do paranormal investigations, I believe there's definitely things out there we can't explain.
Yeah.
So a few different ones there.
It's interesting the dog thing came up again.
Yeah.
That's quite a popular phenomenon, isn't it? The idea that pets have a connection to the other side as well. And they can, there are a lot of stories involve like pets just looking at a corner, the corner of the room and seem to be staring fixed at something.
It's true, the different animals, of course, they see and hear differently to us, don't they?
Yeah.
Like significantly differently.
Yeah.
So there are creatures out there that see in infrared, aren't there?
Are there? Which ones?
I don't know.
No, I believe you. Well, there's some that like basically got night vision, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like crocodiles and things like that. I don't know how they perceive the world. Dogs see in black and white, don't they? Is that a thing? Or I just made that up.
Yeah, dogs see in black and white.
Yeah, they don't see in colour.
Oh, so apparently mosquitoes, vampire bats, bed bugs, and some snake and beetle species
can use portions
of the infrared spectrum for vision.
Of course they can.
Nothing good.
And apparently sometimes humans can see, says in quotation marks, not quite sure what this is from, infrared energy in the form of heat.
Oh.
The energy from it, not seeing in infrared.
Because you can see, is that what they mean? Like, you know, when you're hot
the
day,
way,
yeah.
you can then you look along the road and see kind of, wobbles a bit.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I'd like to learn more about that, actually. I might do a bit more research on that and then come back to you guys.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you have another story, Alex?
I do. So this one's from...
Regale us.
From Fabergine B33R.
Fabergine,
yeah.
Wow. Cool name.
It's a username, so... I mean, it could also be his name. He says... He or she, sorry. Says they didn't experience this themselves, but this comes from their father. A lot of times when my father got home from work at noon, he would go outside... At noon, he would go outside and feed his birds. Not every time, but very often, the door would be locked behind him, even though he didn't lock it himself.
Ooh.
One of the last times, he didn't have a key on him and got locked outside, so he had to wait for my brother to come home and let him in. My sister's mother-in-law told them while visiting that she sensed it was probably my grandmother or other deceased family members asking for attention.
Hmm.
We knew that she had a gift, but she didn't talk about it much, and she came up with it out, like on her own, this idea. I don't know what they did, but after a little while, this phenomenon stopped. There you go. It's a little short one.
Yeah.
So the ghost would visit and lock the dad out of the house.
Nice.
That's like a nice prank, really.
Yeah, it sounds kind of funny, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound, that's the kind of ghost you want. A bit cheeky.
Yeah.
A bit cheeky, causing pranks, freaking you out. but not haunting you.
It's the kind of thing I'd do if I was a ghost. Just lock my family out the
house. Throw the keys on the floor.
Lock them out, go for the bagels. That's what you do.
Go for the bagels. Yeah, exactly. Cool.
That's good. We've got a mixture of ghosts now, haven't we? Got the spooky ones, just got the weird kind of monster ones with the nine fingers, and we've got the friendly ones, and then the playful ones.
There's a huge variety, it seems, doesn't it?
Huge variety. Different ghosts for different folks. Yeah.
I like it. That should be your ghost slogan tagline. I don't know where that comes in. Anyway, guys, are you ready for a quiz?
Oh,
let's do it.
Yeah.
So, welcome, gentlemen, to this week's quiz, which is themed around Halloween with one question about the Rugby World Cup.
Hey. Oh, for goodness sake.
We'll just go, we'll get out of the way early. It's the first question.
Oh.
Okay. So,
that's right.
I thought I had to. It's the final this weekend. I've got to do it. Buzzers. Okay. Alex, what do you got?
I've gone for a famous laugh.
Well, that's very good.
It's on for a little bit too long, but there you go.
Is that good old Vincent Price?
I believe it is.
Sounds like it. I've gone for another classic Halloween sound.
Nice.
Oh, right, thank you very much. You
werewolf.
Yeah, I think that's also possibly used in Thriller.
I think both were.
It's a very familiar one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Question number one.
This quiz is now complete with alcoholic drinks as well. So,
yes. What? Who said such a thing? Hmm.
Number one, England are in the Rugby World Cup final.
Hey.
Yay, hooray, yay. But how many times have they been in it?
Never, because we're terrible. Never.
This isn't football, Alex.
Oh, how many times have we been in it before?
Never.
This is
before this one.
Mm. And it's not never.
It's not never. I'll give you that.
Well, we won it. We've won it.
Oh, okay, good.
So
it's only been around since. It's been around since. Shall I give you a clue? I'll give you a clue before, because for Alex. It's been around since 1987, played every 4 years.
Okay.
just keeps going. I'm going to risk it and say only two times before this.
Okay.
Can I have another guess? Or is Robin right?
No, I have a guess.
I'm going to say once.
You're both wrong.
Oh.
It is three times.
Well, that was my next guess.
I know,
but was it closest wins? Robin can have the point.
No, it's all right.
No, it's 1991, 2003 when we won it, and then against South Africa in 2007.
Oh, I'd forgotten that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we're on to Halloween.
Now we're back to Halloween.
Question two. A video this week went viral showing Donald Trump and Melania Trump placing Halloween candy on the head of a child.
I think Robin got that first. I don't know what the question was. Okay.
I'm going to say Minion.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were they dressed as? And yes, it was a Minion.
What were they thinking?
I don't know.
It's just the most surreal video. His brain just doesn't work. Like other people.
It's just really surreal.
You haven't seen it. It's just bizarre, isn't it?
He's like, there's a kid there dressed as a Minion. Instead of handing him the candy, he just puts it on his head.
He's just mad.
And then Melania's like, does the same thing. Do you reckon she was just like, okay, gotta make this look normal?
Yeah, she's still on the whole, like, I must follow what Donald does. And Donald's having great, he's having loads of fun, isn't he? Like, he's like, this is great. And the kid's like, where's my candy?
Yeah. And then like some other person just comes along and picks it up.
Yeah, because it falls off the head. Little kid just comes and picks it up.
Bizarre. Anyway, question number three. If someone turns up at your house with a blue pumpkin, what does it signify?
Is it that they've got, I don't know if it was as that specific, like as specific, but some kind of disability, autism maybe?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
it signifies autism's are quite a common one, but that they have, some kind of special need.
Yeah.
That's kind of clever. I like that. Yeah, that's quite considerate. That's
cool. Not so you know that that's the case, but just,
You know, to be a bit more responsive to their behavior.
If they're not trick or treat, or they're behaving different to the other kids, to make them feel different, I guess.
Yeah. Well done. So that is one all. Question number four. What is the most common phobia in the UK?
Is it arachnophobia?
Incorrect.
Do you have to guess the actual name of it?
I'll allow you to say what it's for. You don't have to guess the actual name.
Oh, okay. It's not, I don't think this now, I've had a second guess, but agoraphobia.
And which is the fear of?
Fear of open spaces.
No.
No.
A similar vein. Actually, can we have a clue before that?
Yeah, yeah, a clue.
And then we can move.
Okay,
both guess the same
clue. It's not the fear of. Is that right? It's not. It's not the fear of a physical thing.
Oh.
Is it fear of heights?
Correct.
I was thinking heights. I, just, yeah. I wanted a clue anyway.
Yeah. Just yes. Around a third of people have like a proper fear of heights.
Really?
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. Well, what it's like in Holland.
A third of people. So statistically, one of us is...
I get sweaty palms if I'm up high.
My knees... You get sweaty palms if you're high.
Yeah, well, yeah. There we go.
Just any time.
But as in, if I'm looking... I'm not... Like, I'm going roller coasters, I'm absolutely fine. But if I'm looking over the edge of something, I'm like, ooh. But I like doing it. But I'm a bit like, ooh.
My brain knows that rationally everything's fine, but my legs physically start giving out in a high place.
Oh, wow. I think I get a bit of both.
The worst thing could happen.
He's on the edge of a tall building. Your brain's like, no.
Your brain's like, don't worry, everything's fine. Then your legs give out. It's like, actually, forget it. It's not fine.
I know. Your
legs have dropped the ball with that.
When I was a child, I was genuinely scared of heights. We'd go tall buildings and mum would be like, oh, we're going up there. I'd be like, nope.
On your own.
Exactly. But I overcame it because I realized very quickly that I wasn't afraid of the height. I was afraid of falling and dying from the height.
Which I think most people should be,
which
right?
I think most people are, yeah. So it's like, are you afraid of sharks? No, you're afraid of being eaten by sharks. There's a difference.
yeah.
Rationalize it and you'll be able to overcome it.
Well, I guess that's a fear of the danger, whereas some people are scared of spiders even if they know they're harmless, right?
Yeah, it's true. I don't like spiders.
Yeah, me neither. They've got eight legs, Mark. They can spin webs.
They can spin
webs. What kind of animal can do that?
They sit there with their stripes and they're just like, go on.
Yeah.
Go on,
mate. They're sitting there, fine. It's when they shoot across the...
Oh, when they dart across. And then it's the big ones and they go like...
I've had to deal with it because my wife is much, much worse at dealing with them than I am.
Right.
So I'm designated spider hunter.
Yeah. I don't get why the line was drawn at spiders. Like anything smaller than a spider and people are like, oh, just kill it. Like a fly, swat the fly, kill whatever, hit the ant. Well, no one cares. Whereas a spider, they're like, oh, put it outside. No, kill it.
It's that fear.
I hate it.
Fear breeds respect. People are like, if I kill the spider, something might happen to me.
Maybe. More will come.
More will come.
Yeah, they'll send their followers after it.
Question number 5.
Okay.
Why is Halloween celebrated on the 31st of October? Goes on slightly too. Both of you have gone slightly too long.
Well, there are many reasons for this, Martin. It depends on which theory to which you subscribe. But a potential explanation is that it's the eve of Saints Day, which is All Hallows Day.
Yes.
Which is why it's called All Hallows Eve.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Well done. Nice explanation.
Thank you very much.
To all. I believe. Yep, yeah,
that was a well-earned point.
Well, it was very good. And well done for deciphering what I was looking for. Question number 6. What was used before pumpkins to make jack-o'-lanterns?
Oh, I did know this.
Was it...
I'm not going to tell you.
It was turnips or Swedes. I'm going to go with Swedes.
Something like that.
Any in advance on Swedes?
It was a turnip.
Turnips. Is it turnips?
Yeah, it was turnips.
Damn it.
Definitely
should have said why.
I wasn't going to say
you give
turnips.
Two options.
Yeah.
You're reducing your chance of getting it right by 50%.
Oh, well. Walked into that one.
Yeah. 3-2. Well done, Alex. Yeah. Well done.
Actually, turnips much more friendly for the lantern kind of shape, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You can stick a loop in and you can hold it like that much more easily than a giant pumpkin.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Number 7. Where did the Halloween practice, if it's Halloween, I'll take it is, of bobbing for apples originate?
Where or when? Sorry.
Where?
Ooh. Was it country, town?
Yeah, country.
Okay.
It's country. No, well, not country. It's not country. No, it's okay. Clue. It's not a country.
That's confusing. That's,
Is that anywhere? I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
It's a place, a historical place.
Is there a reason for it, or is it just a place that we should? Will we be able to figure it out?
So it's like somewhere like ancient Greece.
Along those lines,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's terrifying.
Is it medieval Europe?
No.
Oh. You know, you don't have to let it go on the entire way.
I like it.
Like the Middle East, Israel, ancient Israel.
No, no. Let's try another clue after this one.
Let's try another continent. Is it? Actually, it's not. No, I'll be more specific. Is it Salem, America?
That's very specific.
It is very specific. It was closer to your first guess, Robin.
Ancient Greece. Is it ancient Egypt?
No.
Damn it.
All right, one more guess, Alex.
Ancient Greece, ancient Egypt. Where would you go after that? Is it ancient Rome?
Yes.
Damn it. I knew when I said Egypt, I was just. It's giving you 2 points.
Tough luck.
Well done. Well done. Give so what did the what were the Romans doing bombing for apples? That seems quite tame for them. In a world of gladiator combat.
You're right.
Just go watch someone kill another man.
Bob for apples, yeah.
And Bob for apples. Some lighthearted entertainment for dessert.
So that's 4-2?
Probably, something like that. 40? You're 2 points ahead.
4-2 to me, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you got...
You definitely, I definitely don't deserve
Minions,
that.
Minions, Blue Pumpkin. Yeah, dodgy. Don't
heights,
give it.
Fear of Heights.
Fear of Heights. All Saints.
Turnips.
And
yeah.
Okay, question 8.
Okay.
In which two countries is trick or treating known as guising?
Guising?
Because of the reaction, if you get one of them, you're well done.
Ireland.
Well done.
There we go. Nice.
The other one is Scotland. Ireland and Scotland.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 4-3. Question number 9. Fingers on buzzers for this one. How many days until... So it's Halloween today, by the way, when we're recording this.
Okay.
How many days until Halloween 2020?
Oh, fuck. 364.
No.
366.
Yes, next year is a leap year.
Flip.
Yeah.
You're along the right lines. You're like, wait a second.
For some reason, I totally...
This day doesn't count, so it's one less.
Yeah. I didn't actually listen to the end of the question and figured it out after I buzzed, but I thought you were going to ask how many days until Christmas, because that's like the next holiday. Yeah. So I had it in my head, and then I was like, oh, no, that's not what you actually asked. So.
Well, thank you. That means it's a tie.
It's 4-all, one question left.
4-all? Yeah.
Okay.
Bonus question, tiebreaker.
Well, it was question 10 first.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, okay.
Which famous magician died on Halloween?
Harry Houdini.
Correct.
Oh, I thought he's a musician.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Well done. Good
Thank
knowledge.
You. Thank yeah. you. I didn't actually know that. I just kind of
famous magicians
kind of took a leap in the dark.
Was he a magician or was he escapologist and illusionist, maybe?
I mean,
illusions, Michael.
Well done. That's great.
Very good.
Tight race.
That was really close.
Yeah,
it?
That was very close. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I really deserve to win with a turnip question.
I mean, Robin, you gave a few answers away. Though,
I did. I was very foolish, wasn't I?
A little bit, yeah. Do you want the bonus one anyway?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go on. Okay. It's still Halloween themed.
Halloween, yeah.
No?
What is the weight of the heaviest pumpkin ever grown? And I've got this in kilos.
I mean, this is an open-ended question, really.
I'm going to go...
Closest wins or just... okay.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty big. Not too big, though. Which is a nothing statement.
How much does a pumpkin weigh?
I'm going to go for 100 kilograms.
Okay.
Okay. I was going to go higher. And I'm going to say 150 kilograms.
You're way off. 1,190 kilos.
That's one big pumpkin.
How big was this thing?
Heavy, heavy, heavy.
I guess it kind of increases exponentially because of all the mass of stuff inside the pumpkin, doesn't it?
Yeah, wow.
That's crazy.
In Belgium, by a guy called Matthias Wilhelmjens.
So that's like a...
Definitely said that wrong.
Did he carve it for Halloween?
Over a ton.
I hope so.
Right?
Over that a
weighs
ton,
more than a ton.
Yeah.
Imagine dropping that on somebody.
They would be dead.
Probably.
I imagine you could probably hollow it out and climb inside it.
Make a house.
Yeah.
You can make a house. Yeah. Crikey.
It wouldn't smell very good, but yeah.
What was his name again? This guy?
Shut up.
No, genuine
I just
question.
Said I definitely butchered his name.
Say it again.
Okay. Matthias Wilhelminge.
Okay.
Wilhelminge.
Well,
I'm sure that's
the
that
surname. The surname is Willelmings. There's definitely a way of saying that in
Willemines.
In
Willemines.
Willemines, it could be. Yeah,
that sounds like he's right. Walloonish.
Willemines.
Flemish there.
Yeah.
Willemines. Cool.
Yeah, good probably silent J there.
Well, then everyone's
that
like,
was a great quiz. Thank you, Martin.
Yeah, it was a really good quiz. Mm. I like the theme. Halloween theme's good.
Yeah, it was appropriate very this good, time,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm, very nice.
Nice to do that. Well.
Well, good, good
well
quiz.
Played, sir. Well yes, played. Congratulations on your victory.
I think
well
I'm earned. Doing the quiz next week. It'll probably be me on it.
Yeah, yeah, I won't be here, sadly.
What?
Be away. Although I do have a special guest in mind.
Oh.
So I won't say right now just because... We just in my knowledge. Plus, no one will know who he is.
Okay.
Well, clue, he. So if it's a she, then...
well, we lied.
Plan fell through, yeah.
But we'll be recording our Patreon-exclusive mini-podcast straight after this
yeah.
for all of our Patreon supporters who have been wonderful all this time. And I hope you all had a happy Halloween. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye.